Welcome to the Interactive Media Network, home of the I Am Radio TV Network. And today, we are proud to present our premier show, Interactive Interviews, where you'll hear live interviews from the Masters in Personal Development, Coaching, Psychology, and more, with your host, Jeffrey Miller, international radio host, author, hypnotist, professional speaker, and strategic interventionist. Now get ready to go interactive.
Well, good day to the entire planet. What a gorgeous day we have out there today. Wow, and thank you so very much for being with us today. We have an exceptional, very special guest with us today who I am going to introduce to you in a few moments. I want to give you a little bit of information about who we are and what we do. We are the Interactive Media Network, also known as the I Am Radio TV Network, and we're a group of coaches, authors and speakers, business people who are serious about getting their message out to the entire planet to serve and to help and to guide those in personal development and more. Children to adult makes no difference because everybody in some respect needs that guidance. And we are all about that. We love what we do. To be a member of this network and a partner in this network, you have to have that passion. You need to know that you want to, and you are serious about the business of coaching, being an author, being a speaker, et cetera, et cetera. And that is why we have fun, because when we collaborate with one another and we get together in our masterminds and have our calls with the masters like today, where we invite an extremely special VIP guest to be our guest on the show and hear their tidbits of how they have mastered their careers and how they've brought themselves from their humble beginnings to where they are in the world of what they do today and how they serve everybody on the planet. It is such an amazing opportunity, and we're so, so pleased to be able to do that. So if you require and would like some information, please feel free to get in touch. My name is Jeffrey Miller, and I am the founder of the I Am Radio TV Network, the Interactive Media Network. And from my humble beginnings in this industry, some 5+ years ago, I had to find out who I was. I had some pieces of my puzzle that were missing, so to speak. And I was successful in business and in life in general. But I knew there were some pieces that were lacking, and they actually wound up being from my childhood, little did I know. Things I had kind of forgotten about, things that had happened when in my earlier life and up through adolescence. And they were kind of kicking my butt every now and then. And through training under Tony Robbins and learning all there is to know about strategic intervention, then going on to hypnotherapy, NLP, et cetera, becoming an author and becoming an international radio show hostess, which I love to do and talk with folks, interview. I learned what those pieces of the puzzle were that were missing. And I have been able to since, in all these years now, become a great coach with many, many clients worldwide. And it is such a pleasure to be able to serve and help them and guide them to find their missing pieces of their puzzle. Well, that's enough about me, and that's enough about the network right now. I do want to talk to you about our guest today. Absolutely, absolutely amazing lady. This lady and I met some years ago in Los Angeles on one of my trips to the Big Money Speaker Bootcamp. Her name is Sherry Fink. She is a number one best-selling author, inspirational speaker, creator of the Whimsical World of Sherry Fink brand. I love that. The Whimsical World of Sherry Fink. And a hopeful romantic who lives in Southern California. She was inspired to write Cake in Bed, her debut novel, to empower women to be their authentic selves and not to settle for anything less than they deserve in life and in love, because everyone deserves to have their cake and eat it too, preferably in bed. Through her award-winning The Whimsical World of Sherry Fink brand, Sherry creates books, beauty products, music, and live experiences that inspire and delight kids of all ages while planting seeds of self-esteem, which is so critical in the youth of children. And we've learned that it's just so important. The whimsical world of Sherry Fink's children's brand is an excellent, and this is a quote, folks, by the way. The whimsical world of Sherry Fink's children's brand is an excellent resource for award-winning and quality children's books that encourage actions of tolerance, acceptance, and perhaps the hardest lesson to be learned of all, staying true to the core of oneself. And that is from Mr. Jack Canfield, co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul and a New York Times bestselling author of The Success Principles. So, folks, today I have the ultimate pleasure, the awesome, amazing pleasure to introduce to you Sherry Fink to the show. Hello, Sherry, my dear friend. How are you?
Hi, I'm fantastic. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I am excited, as is everybody in this network, to have you here today. They're all listening patiently in the background saying, oh, my gosh, we can't wait to hear Sherry. She's got so much on the plate, so much that she's done, so much that is amazing. You know, I thought the other day, Sherry, and as you and I have talked about when we first met and how awesome it was just to talk and just to relate to each other about what we do in our businesses. And, you know, the passion that you exude was so humbling to me, because a lot of people don't honestly have that. And, you know, I knew there has to be a great backstory to that as to why and how you became whom you are. If you'd love to tell our audience that, I know they'd love to hear it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I actually became an author and a speaker by accident. And I think that's what happens to a lot of us. We're kind of going along and thinking this is the path, like whatever we chose early on. And then we get some redirects or things just don't feel like they're in alignment. And we get to make choices. And that's exactly what happened with me. And the way that it played out in my life was that when I was a little kid, I dreamt up these crazy dreams. And I was always creating books and products, and I had little businesses even as a child, and I was always making board games and creating companies. And my family thought, wow, that's really strange, because no one in our family is an entrepreneur. Like, what's going on with that kid, you know? But for me, That was fun. And I kind of lost touch with it over the years as I grew up, because I really wanted to go to college and no one in my family had ever gone. I came from very humble beginnings, and my mom planted a seed very early that I would be the first one to go to college. But I knew that in order for that to happen, I would need to get a scholarship. So I, even as a young child, started getting really focused on my schoolwork, because I was gearing everything toward going to school. And right. I did ultimately meet that goal and liked it so much, I got a master's degree and later a business management program certificate as well. But along that way, I started really getting into marketing. I was fascinated by human behavior and consumer psychology. That just continually evolves and is always just really intriguing to me. So I started focusing on that, and I worked my way up the ladder, and I worked for a variety of big companies, and I kept advancing and learning more and getting more responsibility. And I kept thinking, well, the next promotion, the next company, the next job, that's going to be it. You know, when I get to that point, then I'm going to feel fulfilled. But what I found was that as I continued to climb that ladder and I got to, you know, what I would perceive to be the top of it, I realized that that ladder was up against the wrong wall. Mm. And I had invested over 12 years of my life and my education and massive amounts of energy into that career. So I was having some soul searching, and during that time, I had a gift of adversity, and I was doing well in the company, was, you know, somewhat happy with what I was doing. I was rewarded for it, and at that moment, I had a kind of like an embarrassing little secret. So I was being bullied by a woman in the office.
Oh, boy.
And it happens so much more than you think, but I didn't know that, and I didn't know how to handle it. And I'm, you know, I try to be a kind and compassionate person, but enough's enough. And I just got to the point where I tried everything and nothing worked. And I was struggling, because I learned to work hard. I learned not to run away. And I worked too hard to get where I was to run away from something right. so silly, but it was tremendously taxing on me. So I was driving to work one day, And I just didn't know what to do. And I was crying, and that was really unlike me. And I just had this moment of surrender where I thought, I will do anything to change this situation. Anything. Like if someone said, go to the office and do a handstand, I would try it. That's how desperate I was.
I can imagine.
But in that moment, this beautiful thing happened. When I surrendered to the fact that I had no clue what to do and I was open to help of any form, this idea came to me about a rose that grows up in a weed bed and thinks that she's the weed. And it's like just a little seed of an idea. And I turned it around in my mind and I was like, wow, that's really fascinating. And then the story wrote through me. It was like an instant download. And I'm in the car, so I'm grabbing like bits of paper out of my purse. It was written on the back of an envelope with a mini golf pencil because that's what I had in the car.
I love that.
And I wrote it. Yeah, it was unexpected, you know, and I wasn't prepared. But I wrote it on my leg on the back of that envelope at stoplights on my way to work. And when I got to work, I thought, wow, that was really profound, but I'm never going to tell anybody about that because it just sounds crazy. You know, I wasn't even meditating then. I had never had any experiences like that. So I just put it in a drawer and didn't think about it for over a year. But I made an important decision that day. I said, a year from today, I will either be working in another company, I'll be doing a different job somewhere else, or I'll be running my own business or something I don't even know of. And that was huge for me because I was so vested in what I had done already and the identity that it gave me.
Absolutely.
So
all that time.
Yes. And then, you know, ultimately the situation with the other woman was resolved when she was asked to leave, and I stayed with the company because I believed in them. And, you know, we accomplished a lot together. And I kept postponing my desires. Like I kept saying, well, let me get them through, you know, this season. Let me hire more people on my team so they're in a better position when I leave. Let me speak at the company event like they want me to. You know, let me help this client through their launch. Everybody else first. Until a year later, on that exact date, I had to make a decision. Am I going to really do this thing or not? And
I decided...
I'm doing it. So I typed up a resignation letter. I went and talked to my boss. They were so shocked. They had me go talk to the president of the company who tried to talk me out of it. People thought I was nuts to leave a job like that without anything. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought so too, but I had promised myself and I was like, no, it's time. It's time for me now. And so I did. And then right after that, I had booked to go to Jack Canfield's Breakthrough to Success Conference, which is where I met him. Of course,
yes.
I was familiar with him because of his amazing books. And at that conference, I ended up like learning all kinds of great things like meditation. And I had already always been goal-oriented, always, very driven, very ambitious. But it was at his conference, something about the way he talked about it that enabled me to connect the head with the heart that made it click for me. It was missing in my life. And during that conference, I also had a random conversation with this lady who I'd never met before, who now I believe is an earth angel, and she started asking me about writing. And I said, well, you know, I've written business and marketing. It's kind of boring. And she said, no, you've got more. And she wouldn't leave me alone. And so I was like, oh, you know what? I have this little story. And I just remembered it, and I told it to her. And she said, I just got goosebumps. You have to do something with that because my grandchildren need that message.
Oh, wow.
And that was the first time I thought, well, maybe I could do something with that. Maybe I should pull it out of the drawer. And there was just a series of serendipities that week. And I was terrified of this idea, Jeff. Like, I was like, I am not a children's author. Like, I am a serious business marketing woman.
Absolutely.
Like, I worked for the Army before, you know, like, I don't write children's books.
Yeah.
But there
I can relate. I can
about
relate.
It.
Wow.
Yeah, and
wow.
It was like I was being guided, right? Like, because there was something about it that was so juicy and scary and tantalizing, and I just thought, if I could plant a seed within children, or nurture a seed that's already there, that encourages them to be their authentic self no matter what. How powerful could that be?
Absolutely.
Because when kids believe in themselves, they grow up to be adults who believe anything is possible for themselves and their lives, and they make different choices about what they do and who they are in the world, and they
absolutely
ultimately
correct
have a greater impact.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head on that one, because when you go back to the bullying, Sherry, about how you were bullied in the workplace, that happens, generally speaking, to a lot of children at school as they grow up, and they get so bent out of shape, so to speak, it distorts their mind's image about what the world really is. It kind of takes that creativity away from them that they're being picked on all the time. And you got through it. You stuck through it, which is amazing. Do you feel that it helped you ultimately write the story, get to write the Little Rose? I mean, when you think
100%.
About it. 100%. Yeah, yeah. Because you,
and the
you
reason
know, we,
why.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Is the reason why, I believe, is because I would not allow my heart to be cracked open enough to allow it to come through if I hadn't been so desperate to change it. Because
right.
I knew what I was doing wasn't working. I knew, like, I had tried so many things, and it just, I wasn't standing in my power. You know, I wasn't being my full self. My way to respond to it was with kindness and kind of downplay it at first, and then ultimately to shrink. You know,
right.
It got to the point where if I was mentioned on the company conference call, I would be like, oh, no. You know, this is going to be worse. But,
well, it does a number on
what
you,
I've
doesn't
learned
it, when you think about it. Yeah.
We should shine, because shining brightly isn't going to make everyone happy, but it makes you happy who want to be around that. And those are the people
that's
that
right.
matter. Those are our Rose Garden people.
That's right.
And I was so afraid. And by having the courage to bring this book out, like, absolute magic has unfolded in my life. And it hasn't been easy. I always want people to know that, like, it's not just like the yellow brick road formed in front of me and I just skipped on down the road. No, I had
true.
To fight for it.
That's
but,
true. Yeah.
But I can tell you, it's just been amazing.
It certainly has. And when I look over the resume, your dossier, as they say, of your accomplishments from then to now, it's like J-Lo's got a term, gives you the goosies, you know. I mean, I look at what you've accomplished, the amount of awards and everything that you've got going on. And, you know, I want to get back to the bullying just for a second, because I work with folks with low self-esteem all the time in human needs psychology. And as a coach, it's kind of a shame, but it's pervasive in most people that it starts in the childhood. It starts when they're young and they're in school, that they've been bullied, and then they become this shy, introverted person that allows bullying to kick them in the teeth the rest of their life, unless they take action at some point and develop that inner strength, like you said, the ability to shine through it and to allow that light within you to come out and shine on others so they recognize you've got your strength. And as you said, ultimately that lady that did the bullying was asked to leave. And that was probably a blessing for many people in the business, because you probably weren't the only one. Bullies,
yes,
bullies,
that's true.
Sadly enough,
it's toxic.
Bullies, sadly, yeah, they are some of the most low self-esteem people walking the planet today, bullies. That is their cry for help. And some people say, well, you almost make it sound like we should feel sorry for them. I said, well, you know what? We're all human. We all have stuff going on. We've all lived a life, every one of us, completely 100% unique from the other. No two of us alike anywhere on the planet that we know of, at least. And that said, that person had to have gone through, she had to have gone through a miserable upbringing at some point. Something really went wrong in her life that she felt she had to make herself feel better by being the bully. It gave her like a little instant high, so to speak, that she could take people and put them down to cause herself to feel lifted up. And isn't that a sad thing, that the esteem level of a person is so low that it would affect your esteem and others that work with you in that workplace? But look at what you did with it, so to speak. You made it was
yes.
like a guiding light as well, when you think about it, because it caused you, first of all, boom, you write this beautiful children's book, The Little Rose. Number one bestseller on Amazon for over 60 weeks and became the number one top-rated children's ebook on Amazon. I mean, come on, Sherry. Wow. That's fantastic. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I love focusing on the people who've gone through, because everyone's had struggle. That's something I've learned as I get to know people. And, you know, when you're your authentic self, it gives people permission to open up and be who they are around you. And people tell me, like, at one point I was calling myself the secrets keeper, because I would just be like in the grocery store and the person in front of me would be chatting with me for a moment, and then she would tell me something and she's like, I can't believe I just told you that. I've never told anybody that. And I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah.
But I think I'm fascinated by the stories of people like yourself and me and others that we know, where they lived through tremendous adversity. They had to struggle. Sometimes they didn't think they were going to survive. And yet, they transmute that energy. And instead of trying to take down others and come from a place of fear and scarcity,
they use
it to empower themselves to get out there and really fully live. And those are the people who I want to be around, who inspire me, who uplift others, who are making a difference, who without that adversity, maybe they wouldn't have that hunger.
But very true.
Who knows, right? So it's a gift.
Yeah.
And I think we're given those things as tools to help shape us into the person that we're ultimately meant to become. And it never ends.
It never ends is right, because always the student. You're absolutely right, and I appreciate what you just said about the adversity factor, that most of the greatest coaches I know, the most authentic. Now, there's plenty out there that I might not say were authentic, and we don't need to discuss that, but the ones that are really into serving and they understand the reason that they do it, and let's face it, everybody has right and just reason in this planet to receive a compensation for what they do, because we ought to pay our bills, we got to eat, and we should have a good life. Goal is not that. The ultimate goal is to serve. And those that I know of, like yourself, that have been through the trenches of adversity, have become the most profound, wonderful, beautiful people when it comes to coaches. And they're the ones that are sought after for those that are looking, because they see that shining light and they say, this is the backstory of this person. And if she did it, if he was able to do it, my gosh, I think I have a chance too. And some of them start off as clients, and then they recognize they have an ability to help as well, because they've been there and done that. And they have this unique story that helps others, because even though we're all perfectly unique in our own way, we all share some commonalities in our lives. Let's face it, you know, how many is everybody's felt or seen the bully. So therefore everybody has a feeling for it. Some people were extremely bullied and it's left scars in families as a result. Some of those people aren't with us today because they were bullied. It was so bad. And the esteem level in that child was so low, and it's typically children in the schools. Especially with the social media the way it is and the instant videos and all this stuff. I mean, it's a wonderful tool for business for us, but it's a total adverse situation for children that are bullied when they get their name branded out there, how, you know, they did this or they did that. And it's probably not true at all. So it's kind of a shame that happens. But the good side of things is – go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking, adding on to your thought there, that – social media is like any other tool, right? It's just a tool. A hammer can be used to build a home for someone, or it can be used to take out a mailbox, right?
That's correct.
It's just a hammer.
That's right.
And social media is the same. Like, I love social media. And the reason why, and I find people, they're like very averse to it. Like, recently I was on a book tour in Virginia, and many of the people I met in some of the smaller towns were like, oh, no, I don't do Facebook. Oh, no, that's such a scary place. And I'm like, really, it's kind of being afraid of the city, right? You can go to scary places or you can hang out in the posh spots, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You don't just avoid the city, right? And social media is the same. It's a tool. It's a destination. It's a place to gather. And if you gather in bad neighborhoods, then you're going to be afraid. But if you hang out with the eagles who are soaring and inspiring, and like, I love seeing what people are doing because it makes me think I could do it too. And
Absolutely. We
have some extraordinary friends who are doing huge things.
Oh, yes,
and
we do.
Wow. you know, if they can get on a stage with 10,000 people, like maybe one day I could do that too. Or
absolutely
that person
true
has this beautiful relationship and they're traveling and they're creating things together, such as you and Emily. I'm like, wow, I admire them. I like seeing a little glimpse into their lives through social media. So I think it depends on how you use it. And I think it can be a wonderful tool for kids to see bigger, like especially kids that grow up in smaller communities, you see beyond your front door.
True.
And you have access to something that you wouldn't have otherwise. Like you might see kids in India. You might see, you know, kids who are volunteering and doing something incredible, or, you know, they wouldn't have exposure to it. And if you, I was at a keynote at the American Association of University Women annual author luncheon a month ago. And there was a 13-year-old girl there who is recipient of a scholarship to go to the STEM camp, which is science, technology, engineering, and math.
Right.
And she was always interested in biology, but she didn't want to major in it because she didn't see potential for her. Well, she gets access to this camp, and they teach her about marine biology and different facets of it. And I cannot even remember the very narrow name of what she's interested in because it was so complicated. But she was so
right
excited because she didn't know it existed. And
until
because
then
she didn't know it existed, she wasn't going to choose that path for herself. And I think it's the same way in life. Like if we don't know it's possible, we don't think about it. Like if you only see Twinkies, Twinkies or Ho-Hos, right? Then you're going to pick a Twinkie
right
or a Ho-Ho. But if you, if you're out there and you're seeing like this garden salad and you're seeing this beautiful meal, you're like, oh, I don't want the Twinkie. Like I want the meal. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you choose a Twinkie, but then
good
you might
metaphor
regret it. Right?
That's right.
So
although
I,
when,
I
was, when I was young, mine was Ring Dings. I loved Ring Dings. I didn't know
oh
the difference. So talk to me about the whimsical world. You know, I feel like I'm on the Magical Mystery Tour when I say that. And in reality, you are on a Magical Mystery Tour. A lot of what you're doing is of course planned strategically because of your business background and your sense of understanding of how to create from the point of a business, because you're serious about that. But then the whimsical side, you know, you're, you know, and I look at when I knowing you personally and having spent some great moments talking with you on a couple of occasions now personally, as well as on online. When I think of you writing the book, The Little Rose, I consider that the beginning of the whimsical process of Sherry Fink. And but talk to us about that, how that came to be, this whimsical world of Sherry Fink.
Sure. Well, when the first book came out, I didn't know what to expect. I basically was thinking, okay, you know, I've published a book. I've met my goal. Like, now I'm going to help kids. I'm really excited about that. And you know, check the box. But what I wasn't ready for was 2 weeks after the book came out, it went number one on Amazon, as
yeah
you mentioned. And it changed
really
everything because suddenly bigger doors were opening for me. And I started getting other ideas. And I thought, no, not now. Like, I'm busy. Like, I'm promoting right now. It's a bad time to be writing. I kept seeing my second character, which was the little gnome. I kept seeing his little face and his hat, and the cover of the book was in my mind, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to spend a week writing this story. And it flowed really easily, and I mean, I still have my moments, especially now, because writing a novel is a very different animal than a children's book.
Yes.
But, but, you know, I wrote it and I just fell in love with him. And I thought, you know, I'm going to have a second book. And then right around that time, I started getting approached by different companies and different individuals about opportunities for The Little Rose. Like, have you thought about putting the characters on fabrics? Have you thought about putting them on notebooks? Would you be open to adapting The Little Rose for the stage? And all these things that kept coming, and some of them were not a good fit for me, so I chose not to do them. But I realized, like, I really need to put into practice what I've done for big brands, I need to do for my brand. So I needed an umbrella that would be the brand. And so The Whimsical World of Sherry Fink was the first thing I thought of. I talked to a couple of people I trusted. I gave the name to them, and they're like, oh, my God, that's totally you. So I ran with it. And,
well,
you know, now
perfect.
I have five children's books. I have 2 albums. I have a play. I have a small beauty line. I have all these things that exist.
Amazing.
Because I was willing to embrace my whimsy.
Embrace your whimsy. I like that. I got to remember that. I need to embrace my whimsy more often. I think that's
yes,
that's
you
fantastic.
Do. Everyone does.
Absolutely fantastic. I wanted to mention to our listeners real quickly, we're going to go up to commercial break here in just a minute, for a minute, and you can call us at 657-383-1534. That's 657-383-1534, U.S. and Canada. Unfortunately, I can't have you call in on Skype or anything else at this time. That is coming very soon in our new station that is being built for us right now. And then we will have call-in from worldwide for free without a charge. That number, unfortunately, is a charge right now, 657-383-1534. Please, after the advertisement, give us a call so you can ask Sherry a question. She'd love to answer your questions for a minute. And I know I've got a couple of people that are going to be lined up, I'm sure, who said they were going to call. So let's go, Sherry, at this moment. Let's go to our advert, maybe for 1 minute. And I will rejoin you right then.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks. Hello, amazing listeners to the I Am Radio TV Network. We thank you so very much for being here with us today. We wanted to let you know we have an amazing opportunity coming up. We have available broadcast time. If you are a coach, author, speaker, or a business person looking to get your message out to the entire planet, then please get in touch with us as soon as possible, and we will go over the various levels of participation in our network. Again, we thank you for being with us here today on the I Am Radio TV Network. Now, get ready to go. Interact. And welcome back to the show, folks. Sherry, are you with me?
I am here.
All right, great. Thank you for that time, folks. Well, I see we've got a caller in the queue already, Sherry. If you would like, we can start to take calls right now. And let's answer some questions from these fantastic folks. I'm sure they've got some. So here we go. Hi, thanks for calling the I Am Radio TV Network. You have a question for Sherry?
I do.
Well, speak up. Thanks for calling.
No problem. So my question for you is kind of two-part. What was one of the greatest challenges that you faced when it came to writing and publishing your kids' books, and how did you market the first one?
Ooh, big, big questions. What's your name?
Katie.
Hi, Katie. Okay.
Hi.
So first question, biggest challenge. Oh, my gosh. I would say it was fear. You know, I was afraid. I felt like sharing that backstory. At first, I had a lot of shame about it. And
yeah.
So that's the thing most people wanted to know is like what inspired the story, and it was the thing I was most embarrassed to share. So I had a tough time with it at first, but what I learned was that every time I shared it, always had at least one person come up to me, no matter if it was kids, adults, radio, TV, didn't matter, stage, always at least one person that said, that's happening to me right now, or that's happening to my best friend, or that happened to me and nobody talks about it from a grown-up perspective. And so it really started giving me more confidence to share it. And the other side of that fear was I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I had built my career in online marketing, so you know, over 12 years, I had tried a lot of things. I had gotten more experienced. I had education behind it. I had some confidence in what I was doing, and I was, like I said, rewarded for it with good results. But going into this, like, it was completely new. I didn't know how to publish a book. I didn't know, you know, any of those things. I had run departments. I had managed budgets. I had managed people. But I had never done anything of this magnitude before or anything this personal.
Yeah.
It was always on behalf of someone else. So
yeah.
I think being afraid of that and not being perfect at it too, because in the corporate world, you know, when it has a big brand, it's got a nice sheen to it. By the time it gets out into the world, it's been touched by lots of people and perfected. And my book is not perfect. You know, it's perfectly imperfect. And being okay
yes.
with that,
yeah.
you know, was a big deal for me too. So there were a lot of things, but I think the root of it was just fear of what if this doesn't work? Like, what am I trying to do here? And so what I do is I would connect with the passion that I had for the message and for the impact that I wanted it to have for children. And I would
okay.
just make that so big that it would dwarf the fear.
Right.
So, and I felt it every single day. That's the other thing is like, I would just keep taking action and I would feel afraid, but I think action cures stagnation and like lack of motivation. So if you keep taking
okay.
action, you get momentum.
If I could
yeah,
interject,
so,
I would, Sherry, that's amazing. And Katie, I'll let you know that Sherry is the recipient of, due to the fear factor, by the way, that she took action on, she is the recipient of multiple literary awards, including 3 gold medals in the Reader's Favorite International Book Awards. And now all
nice.
5 of her children's books have been number 1 bestsellers. So that's what fear does for you guys. Wow. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, the 2 of you.
I think, too, another challenge was who I'm evolving to is different than what I was ever before, which
okay.
sounds obvious. But when you embark on a journey like this that's so close to your heart and you're really expanding every single day, not everybody that was in your world to begin with belongs in it long term. And you start feeling the friction. And most people, when they start feeling the friction, will back down from the dream because
okay.
it's too scary. So I think that fear is another side of that too. But realizing that you can't hold yourself in a cage just because it makes other people comfortable. You know, when you have this big dream
yeah.
and you have wings, you have to fly.
Yeah.
You have to.
Can't
it will,
be afraid
it will kill
to fly,
you if
yeah.
you don't. Yeah, it will kill your soul. And so that is the other thing is about ramping up the courage and just being willing to keep taking a step in faith every single day. So that would be the challenge side of it, the biggest things, I think. And then as far as the marketing goes, holy cow, like there's so much, right? Like so many things, and I actually mentor authors on it too. Like there's so many things that I have a whole mentoring program around it. But
okay.
I would say the key, like the underlying seed to it all is about relationships. It's not even
okay.
about marketing. It's about being a good person. Because what I've learned, like through happenstance along this process, is you meet a lot of cool people and some of them very, very good people. And I've always been the person who I'm excited when I get to connect with someone like that. And I want
okay.
to promote them to my friends. Like I want to tell everybody, like if you have a book that I think is amazing and can help a lot of people, and I think you're just an extraordinary human being, I want to tell people about it. So that's
nice.
Something I naturally do. And what I didn't realize from years of doing that is that when I finally had my book come out, people wanted to step up and help me. People wanted to support my dream, even though I wasn't asking them to. And that's,
perfect.
I believe, how my book initially went number 1, and then word of mouth took off from there. So I think it's about cultivating positive relationships with good people in your world and then wanting to serve them, and not to the point where you, you know, don't take care of yourself, but in a healthy way,
yeah.
you want to promote them, and then they, since they're good people and they believe in what you're doing and they like you, they want to promote you too.
Okay,
and
so a third
all
question
of my
then,
marketing
if that's okay.
benefited from that.
Yeah, that's amazing. So can I ask one more question?
Yes, go right ahead.
Sure.
Okay. So
I'm not
going to
stop
when you. Started, when you start to become the recipient of other people's generosity, coming from being a person who is used to being the giver, did you find it intimidating or hard in any way to become a receiver as well?
Hmm. Not
great
in business,
coaching.
Actually.
Hmm. Well, your business training would have given you that, yeah.
Yeah, so because I had worked, you know, in corporate environments, I was used to helping out other departments and then helping me, and I was surprised by it. You know, I was genuinely surprised and grateful. And I think that's the key, too, is the deep gratitude that you feel. It's not like a, it's not an entitlement, like you owe me, you give it to me, like when you're going to do this. It's more like, wow, that person believes in me enough to champion my project. Like they don't benefit at all from championing it. Like it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? So, and on the personal side, I mean, when you run your own business, it's not really distinguishable, right? Like, so an example would be, so I attend conferences sometimes as a keynote, sometimes as a workshop leader, sometimes as an attendee, because I always want to learn more. And sometimes there'll be a fan there and they'll be really excited to meet me. And I love that. I love connecting with fans. And then sometimes they're very generous with me. Like, for example, one of the conferences I went to, this woman, she was amazing. She had met me the year before just for a moment, and then we reconnected at the conference the following year. And she saved me a front row seat at every keynote that week.
No.
She would get to the room super early, and she would text me and say, hey, I've got your seat. And because I was doing meetings and everything, I couldn't get to the room 2 hours early to wait, you know? And I was just so, every day I was surprised. I was like, I'm not expecting this at all, but it's so generous of her. So, you know, of course, I signed a full set of my books for her grandchildren. And, you know, I try to give back too. But I think on a personal side, it was harder to get used to. But now I say, if the universe wants to gift me something, I say yes. I will be an exquisite receiver so that I can be an even more exquisite giver.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Katie, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for talking with you, Katie.
Thank you.
You too.
Yeah. We will be talking with you again soon, I'm sure. Thank you, Katie.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was excellent. And I know for a fact, I know Katie, actually. She's one of our directors in the network. And she has, I mentioned to you earlier, Sherry, she is in the process of having her children's books illustrated at this time. And she is, that fear factor definitely got her like, will anybody like this? You know, we've talked about that. And she also wrote, she's an amazing coach, and she works in some tough areas of coaching to do with recovery, drugs, alcohol, et cetera. And she's written some programs now that have turned into an ebook, which is absolutely fantastic. So she's coming right along. She's busting out of it. The fear factor is the shell is shedding, so to speak. So we're proud
Exciting.
Of you, Katie. Thanks for calling in. And she's looking forward to catching up with you again, Sherry, at some point, too. So I want to talk about cake and bed. That's really what I want to talk about.
That's all I want to talk about, too, cake.
Yeah, you know what? We've got 14 and a half minutes of show left, and I was going to talk about it sooner, but it was so great. And again, thanks, Katie, for calling. Those are great questions. Because I'm sure a lot of people think about that, the fear factor of becoming an author and will you be accepted. But Cake in Bed was such when I heard you were writing a novel, I was just thrilled, personally, as a friend. And I thought, wow, this is really going to be great. But I had no clue what it was going to be. And when I saw the title, when you previewed it before it was published, and I jumped on the list to buy one for Emily. And so that I could see it. And as a matter of fact, that book has been out to one of our best and dearest friends, has it. And we need to get it back because I didn't get to complete it. And I don't typically read novels, but I'll tell you what, there are some that I do. Another dear friend of ours wrote two romance novels and I read both of those. I just never have in my life. And yours is just like, wow, too. And the title got me because I love to have my cake in bed and eat it too. So let's talk about this beautiful, beautiful novel. How did this get going?
I'd love to. So after I had started building The Whimsical World, I have all these ideas for children's books and other things to expand the brand. And I ended up having, I had a business call one morning really, really early. And then the night before, I had gone and I had made decorated cakes with a friend of mine in Beverly Hills. And I had this huge cake in my refrigerator. Of course, it's red velvet because that's my favorite. And the meeting was so early, I didn't have time to like eat and get everything ready beforehand. So I just ran upstairs, grabbed whatever I could find in the refrigerator, which happened to be cake. And I ran back downstairs, still in my pajamas, got under the covers, get on the call. It's a conference call. It's an hour and a half international. And I'm muting it, eating my cake, feeling so sneaky. And then I would unmute it and be like, that's correct, and be very professional.
Oh,
and then I'd go back to muting it. And I'm like, hee, hee, hee. And,
oh, and I told
my best friend that day, I said, yeah, I had this awesome call, but I felt so sneaky because I was eating cake in bed the whole time. And he's like, cake in bed. What a great name for a book or a movie.
And
we both laughed, and I didn't really, I didn't even think about it, right? But then that weekend, that was a Friday, the rest of that weekend, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, cake in bed, cake in bed, cake in bed. Like, oh, it's metaphoric. Like, ooh, it just tastes good. Like, it sounds, like, sexy and flirty.
It is sexy. It is,
ooh,
yeah.
I like it, you know? So I went ahead and bought the domain, and I decided, like, I'll do something with that. Didn't know what it would be. And then I started getting, the way that my imagination typically works is that I see it as if it's a movie, and then I report the scene. Like, I record the scene as it unfolds as a movie on paper.
Nice.
Except the little rose. The little rose came audibly. Like, it was like the story was told to me. But
right.
Cake was different, and I would every now and then I'd hear dialogue between the characters, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I got to write that down. You know, so I was just kind of collecting bits of it for a year. And then I was like, yeah, maybe I'll get it out this day, maybe that day. But I had all these other things happening within my business and my life. So it just kept kind of dragging on. It wasn't the right timing. And then the beginning of last year, I just decided, the beginning of 2015, I was like, you know what? This
That's
is the
right.
year.
It's time.
I need to get
it's
serious
time.
About this.
Yeah.
I need to prioritize this in my life. Otherwise, I will never finish it, and that would be a disservice to me and to the world. So I looked at my calendar, and I took everything off that wasn't directly related to my books, my business, or my body, because I knew I needed to take care of myself too. And it was painful. Like, I said no to some things that I really, really wanted to do. I said no to fun stuff with friends. Like, it's just so many things I had to like focus just on that to make it happen. And I did. And it was painful. It was so painful. Not only saying no to people and trusting that I was doing the greater thing, but the writing process too, because I had set a deadline for myself and I had publicly stated it. So I had to do it, you know, which was great in a way, but also super stressful in another way. So, so that's what I did. And I really wanted to, you know, build a community around it because I'd never done a romance before. I didn't even know it was a romance when I started writing it, honestly. It wasn't until I was working with my editor last year when I realized it has the same theme as my children's books. It's still all about self-love. It's about seeing the world through your own eyes. It's about not settling for less than you deserve. And I thought, how fascinating is that? It's the same essence. It's just a much more sinfully delicious package, you know?
You know, it's funny. I was just going to ask you before you said all of that and that delicious sentence that you just put together, how about giving us a little taste of that cake in bed? Well, you just did. You just did it. You just did it. I mean, sinfully delicious. How's that, guys? Yeah, I think everybody needs to go and order this novel right now. I was blessed to know when Sherry was launching pre-launch, and we ordered it right away. And it came to Emily, I believe, was Valentine's Day, if I'm not mistaken, which is kind of a lovely thing. Thank you so very much, Sherry, for writing a very wonderful, beautiful sexy novel that I could present to my wife on Valentine's Day. And it came just in time, and she was exceptionally happy. And she devoured that book. She went through it like you wouldn't believe, and then told her girlfriends about it. And one of them that has it now is just about completed, I believe. We're going to be getting it back. So I can finish it, because I said, you know, I knowing you, I've got to. I mean, what I've understood about the book and how it relates, you know, in the photos you had done, absolutely breathtaking photos. I mean, just totally leads to the story. I mean, if you don't think you're in bed eating cake, oh gosh. Wonderful, wonderful job photography-wise too. I mean, the promotional end of what you did was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I expected you had a lot say about that. So, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, it was a huge undertaking. It was honestly the biggest thing I've ever done, even bigger than the children's books. What I did is I wanted to really build excitement about it, because I was unknown in that genre. And not knowing what I don't know about romance promotion, you know, I just started trying things. And I thought, well, I really want quality images. I want quality videos. Like I want it to be the level of the book, like the brand, you know, like,
oh, you did it.
It's high level. It's sexy. It's flirty.
Right.
It's fun, you
yes.
know, and I want everything to reflect that. So it required a lot of planning and a lot of work. It was crazy.
And,
it's
very tasty too.
yes, you know.
I mean, seriously, I read Red Velvet Cake along with Romance. You're like, wow, you know.
and then I planned this premiere event in Beverly Hills for February, and the ebook released that week. And then
right.
we did this big celebration. And in doing so, I mean, it was huge. Like, we had red carpet. I gave away a 5-carat ring from a London jeweler. Like,
amazing.
It was extraordinary. The level of planning.
Absolutely.
And the joy that was palpable in that room. I was basically giving 75 people my dream date.
Amazing. Amazing. We wish we could have been there, quite honestly.
Oh, it would have been so wonderful for you to be there. And so all this planning and all this work, like, you think, oh, the book is done. The editing part is the hardest. And now it's done. Now we can celebrate. Well, sort of, but it's a lot of work. But it creates the magic. And that night was the best night of my life so far.
Oh,
to be able to share that moment with so many incredible people. I mean, 12 people flew in just for the event.
That's fantastic.
Incredible.
What an honor.
So it's been worth it.
It's got to give you those gooseies when you think about that. Wow.
Yeah, it does. And now, like, as we're preparing for the official paperback release, which is on June 3rd, I mean, sorry, June 2nd.
No, that's my birthday.
Like,
what a great day. You did Valentine's
Day. Oh, it's a lucky day.
Oh, thank you. It is a lucky day. Boy, I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. It's just so fun to get to share it and to watch what
great.
Unfolds as a result of it.
That's great. And we'll be catching up with you in July, by the way. We're in L.A. Somewhere around, I got to double check the dates, early in the month, I believe. And we'll be doing an event with the I Am Radio TV Network. It's actually doing an event in West Hollywood, as it looks right now, at least a one evening event, to preview our live events that are going to be taking place with our speakers and our network. And of course you are invited to that. So
lovely.
We will.
I
we
would
will
love
give
to come.
You those, Emily will get you those dates pronto. Yes. And that's going to be a fun time. And then our next event will be in Orlando, which will be fun as well. But, wow. I am just so happy to have had you on the show. I'll tell you, when I told the directors and the Platinum Partners, who will be looking forward to speaking with you in the near future on that other call, that you were coming on, they were like, oh, yes, what an amazing guest to have on our show. And they were ecstatic. I got to be honest with you. Each one of them was ecstatic.
Exciting.
Of course, yeah, well, you know how Emily and I feel about you. We love you to pieces. And you're just such an amazing lady, so full of giving to others. It's just a wonderful, wonderful privilege to know you and call you friend, Sherry.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you. Likewise.
Welcome.
I'm very grateful
for
the opportunity to share.
We appreciate that too. And we're looking forward to, you know, we always love to have our guests back sometime later, because as of course, as things move forward, there's so much more happening in the world, the whimsical world of Sherry Fink, that the world's going to want to know. So we will have you back in the future as well. And
that'll be
blessed.
Fun.
Yes, yes. So what's coming up on the horizon right now that you want to tell everybody about? Get something out there to them that they can get in touch with you, your contact information, everything. Give them something juicy so they're going to say, yeah, not only do I need these books, do I want to read Cake in Bed, but here's something else that's coming up.
Awesome. Well, Cake in Bed paperback release is June 2nd, as I mentioned. And so that is something that super excited about. And then this fall, I'll be releasing the paperback editions of all five of my children's books for the first time ever. And
excellent.
We will be releasing audiobook editions of the children's books in the next few months. So that is the first time that it'll be available beyond the hardcover. And the ebook too. The ebook's been available, but audio is a whole new way to reach kids, you know, so they can have a more interactive experience. So I'm very excited about that. And I love connecting with fans, and they can find me on my website at www.sherryfink.com. And it's SHERIFINK.com. You can also find me on Facebook. My fan page is facebook.com/sherryfinkfan. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @Sherry_Fink. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, and we will make sure those are posted up on our page as well. And there's our two-minute end music. We've got some beautiful music to end the show. And it has been an absolute pleasure, as I mentioned, Sherry. And we're so happy, happy for you that your dreams and aspirations have come to fruition, as they say. The whimsical world of Sherry Fink, folks. Follow up. Get in touch. Buy these books. Buy them for your children. Buy them for your grandchildren. She's got some of the best children's books out there today. And this novel, oh, you want some good reading. Ladies and gentlemen, Cake in Bed. Sherry, thanks again for being with us today. It has been a pleasure to have you on the IM Radio TV Network with yours truly, Jeffrey Miller. And we love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. And folks, thanks for joining us again today on the Interactive Media Network. I am Jeffrey Miller, your host, and it is a blessing to have you with us today worldwide on the IM Radio TV Network. We look forward to you joining us on future shows next week. Look at our page on Facebook, I Am Radio TV Network, and you'll see our show guide. We have some wonderful shows coming up, and more to join us. So again, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.